Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Well, who doesn't love taking time off and going to the Texas coast? But there is so much more to the 370-mile-long coastline than many of us are familiar with. But a new documentary series, Chasing the Tide, brings us along as a couple explores the seven barrier islands of Texas. We're joined by the two co-hosts and co-producers of the program, Jay and Chrissy Clayburgh, and welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Chrissy, what am I going to see when I watch the program?
Wow. A lot. Probably some things that, you know, some people are familiar with, you know, places and islands that they've been to. Hopefully a lot of new things that people were unaware of. Interesting wildlife stories happening on our coast. How unique and different each barrier island is. What else? Jay.
Yeah, it's part adventure chronicle. So we start up in the Port Arthur Sabine Pass area in the upper coast. And then we travel about 20 miles a day. And there's six part to the series. And so we spend some time in the Chenier Plain and High Island, which is a birding hotspot globally, Galveston Island, and look at coyotes in that area that have up to 70% red wolf DNA. And so it's part adventure journal and part wildlife story, and also, you know, highlighting the communities that live on the Texas coast and our barrier islands.
Our phone line is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you got a favorite part of the Texas coastline, give us a call. Tell us about it. What makes it magical for you? And we'll see if Chrissy and Jay took their cameras there and have a story to tell us as well. 833-877-8255. Well, Chrissy, it does seem like the Texas coast is being stressed right now. We're seeing a lot of industrialization. Also, the weather is more intense than ever. Of course, we're seeing what happened with Helene as it went through a different part of the nation. But it could have hit Texas. So what about, you know, how this weather is impacting us?
Well, the barrier islands are our first line of defense against hurricanes. And so actually walking the whole thing and seeing that, you realize how important they are. And with erosion and sea level rise, it's just causing more and more damage. And I think just walking it and seeing it firsthand and talking to people on the ground, we realize what there are some things that we can do about it. And hopefully people will take that message home with them after they see the series.
So, Jay, what was the pitch? How did y'all come up with this, that y'all were going to go through the barrier islands, document, talk to people along the coastline? How did you convince all the PBS stations in Texas to come along with this journey?
Well, the first station that we were talking with was here in Austin, and you know, it was over a conversation about some of the work that they're doing. And I was starting a new job as executive director of a coastal conservation group called the Gulf of Mexico Trust. And the realization that in that room and then conversation afterwards, that Texans don't think of Texas as a coastal state. We think of Texas as a state that just happens to have a coastline. And so that is sort of a top line pitch was really helpful. And then you start looking at the biodiversity that we have. We have some of the highest and most biologically rich environments in the Western Hemisphere on a migratory bird standpoint. It's extremely important for almost every migrating bird in the Western Hemisphere. And so you start digging into these issues on top of the fact that you get the largest and most important petrochemical complex in that Houston, Port Arthur area in North America. And all of that, including communities like Galveston and Padre Island and in the Corpus area, are at risk due to some of these environmental factors that we're seeing, high levels of erosion and sea level rise, higher than many parts of the globe. And so all of that is coming to a head on our coastline.
And originally it was supposed to be a 54-minute documentary, but after walking the whole thing and talking with so many people on the ground, scientists, community members, we asked if we could have a 6-part series, because you can't really do the Texas coast justice in 54 minutes.
My favorite secret part of the Texas coastline used to be a Boca Chica Bay at the Rio Grande. But since then, some guy started launching rockets from there, and it's taken on a different kind of flavor. Jay, so do y'all take a look at what's happening there?
Yeah, we do. And one of the important pieces of all this is that there's so much research that's going on up and down the coast that not many people are familiar with. And one of the groups that we spoke with were from Heart Research Institute and some others from Coastal Bend Bays and Estuaries Program. And they've looked at the importance of that part of Laguna Madre to shorebirds and its critical habitat development, like you see at SpaceX in that area, is disturbing their habitat. And so their efforts to ensure that when that area, and if it continues to develop, that there's at least some science to support a balance between that kind of progress in space, commercialization of space travel, and the work that SpaceX and NASA and others are doing, considering that we have this really unique ecosystem there that we have to try and conserve and protect.
So this is a PBS Texas series. It's great to see all the PBS stations across the state working together to launch this program, the 10 Texas PBS stations. And there are how many episodes of Chasing the Tide, Chrissy?
There are 6 episodes.
And does this mark a series? Or is there going to be more of these types of things?
Wow. Yeah, that would be nice. I would walk it again, maybe the other direction.
Yeah, you know, all sorts of areas that need to be talked about. I know there's been a lot of wildlife programming coming out looking at Texas being launched on PBS. So we're going to continue our conversation. Michael, I'll get you on the air when we come back from the break. Our phone lines are open. We're asking our listeners, what's your favorite part of the Texas coastline? It's rich, it's diverse, there's a lot of it, but you know, it's more than just that little piece on Mustang Island. Let's talk more about that when we come back from the break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half, we're going to be talking about the Monarch Butterfly and Pollinator Festival. It will be happening at Brackenridge Park on Saturday. But right now, we're learning more about Chasing the Tide, an expedition looking at the 370-mile long Texas coastline, seven barrier islands, sanctuaries for migratory birds. There's also all sorts of wildlife that thrive, but there's also challenges along the coastline as we continue to try to preserve the wild part of the Texas coastline. There is a six-part series that's going to take viewers along that trek on the Texas coast, and the first episode airs here in San Antonio on PBS, I think, on October 5th. And so our the two producers, co-producers, co-host, Chrissy and Clay, and Chrissy Clay, Jay Clayburg, sorry about that. The thing about the coastline, let me go to a caller. Michael's been waiting. So, Michael, let's get you on the air. Michael, go ahead.
Hello. This is very interesting to see this. I'm going to be very interested to see this. Been going out of the Texas coast all my life. My whole family has. And I'm great research institute, the Hart Hanks Institute, I believe it is. I'm a CCA member. A couple of questions. Number one, did y'all solicit any help from HEB for a contribution for this series? HEB is a great corporate citizen, and we've got an upcoming state park in that area down there. What I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. Matagorda Island, is it going to be covered in the series?
All right, Michael, thank you for the call. What do y'all think?
Yeah, so we do have some support from HEB in a couple of different areas, and so that's a good plug for them, and they're a great steward. And in fact, they are doing some work on, I heard you mention pollinators, some work there with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. And one of the islands that we did walk across was Matagorda Island, and you've got the north half, which is a wildlife management area managed by Parks and Wildlife Department, and then the southern half is U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And so we spent some time physically there and also in the series talking about the true wild nature of that island and the fact that we have it. It's a true jewel on the Texas coast. And then efforts, because of what we're seeing with just the constant energy that you see coming from the Gulf of Mexico on a day-to-day basis, and then more intense storms, their efforts to try and shore up that barrier island, because we're losing some of it, especially towards the north end and with sea level rise on the back end in the back bay areas. So they're active in that. And then one of the things that we're working on with HEB, because one of the big challenges in the Gulf of Mexico, but specifically in Texas, is we receive about 10 times more trash on our beaches than any other state in the Gulf of Mexico. And so we're working with HEB to launch what we call a Trash Free Gulf campaign in May of next year. And to go back to Hart Research Institute, we interviewed several experts from their group out of A&M Corpus Christi, Jenny Pollock with oysters, and CCA obviously has spent a lot of time focused on oyster habitat, wild oyster reefs, and the oyster industry. And then Jace Tunnel, who's an engagement officer and focuses a lot of his efforts on trash. So yeah, we talked with a lot of experts, and you'll see a lot of that in the series.
Chrissy, to pick up on the point about how Texas doesn't really see itself as a coastal state, but it seems like so many people, like our callers, talking about they have gone to the coast a lot. They feel connected to the coast if they don't live there, if they're inland, like we do in San Antonio and Austin and other places. So they have an emotional connection to the coast. Are we just lacking something to kind of pull it all together?
Yeah, I think, growing up in San Antonio, I pretty much just went to Mustang Island and, South Padre a couple of times. But, the whole upper and mid coast were new to me. And I think, just walking it and talking with people, a lot of them, visit for recreational purposes with their families, celebrating, anniversaries, birthdays, and visit the coast. But then people from all over the state that aren't anywhere near the coast, I think we're trying to hope, you know, hopefully they can somehow get a connection and realize that, you know, all of our major rivers flow towards the coast. If you live in any kind of watershed around the state, you know, whatever is happening where you live, if you're in, you know, Lubbock or Dallas or El Paso, whatever is happening on the ground there is going to eventually make its way to our Gulf Coast. And so I think we're trying to make that connection as well. So if you don't live anywhere near the coast, you do have a connection there.
Let's go to Mike on the phones. And Mike, you're on the air.
No, I've been meaning to go for years to South Padre and see the type of sand that's down there. It's supposed to be like a unique sand. I was wondering if you would be able to talk about that. And then kind of concerned, some people tell me that Mexico is holding back a lot of water going into the Rio Grande that contains a lot of that sand, type of sand. I'm wondering what effect that has.
All right, Mike, thank you for the call. The sand, definitely the tidal energy that you get is going to be reflected in the sand. What can you tell us about the different types of sand that you've seen as you walked along the barriers, Jay?
Yeah, if you start and sort of think, I'll go from north to south and try and make this quick. And I'm not a geologist or a scientist, but just based on what we learned along the way is on that upper coast, you're receiving a lot of that sand that's coming out of either the Mississippi or the Chenier Plain and the wetlands on the upper coast in western Louisiana. You've got longshore drift that's bringing that sand down the coast. When you get to the mid coast, you've got the Brazos and the Colorado River, and they're pushing sand out. And as we've hardened our jetties and we've dammed up a lot of our rivers, that system, that exchange of sediment and the flow out into the Gulf and back onto our beaches has actually been reduced over time since about the 50s. And so one of the things that I think we're interested in seeing is a greater emphasis on beach nourishment and work to restore our dunes, because those really are what help protect the bays and estuaries and the communities that lie behind them. As far as the Rio Grande goes, yeah, we see a reduced flow, you know, in all of our rivers, really, in Texas. And a lot of the sediment that you're seeing and a lot of the shells, like Big Shell and Little Shell Beach on Padre Island, that's a factor of the currents that are coming north from Mexico and that hit that longshore drift that's coming down from the north, and they converge and push some of those shells and some of that sand back. So it is unique, and it's in the water quality, the clarity rather, in South Padre and the Laguna Madre, because you just have less freshwater inflow. It looks a lot like the Caribbean. It's a pretty amazing place.
So, Chrissy, when you go to the coast, you'll see signs telling you don't walk on these dunes and that dunes. Why? What are we protecting?
Well, they're protecting us from hurricanes, and so I think one of the things that we failed to mention so far is the Open Beaches Act and our right to access. It's enshrined in our Constitution, and our right to access our, you know, coastline. And I don't think we would have been able to do this walk without it. And so that's one of the major takeaways, I would think, that people will get from this documentary series. And we talk a lot about dunes and how they do protect us.
Let's go to caller Mary. And Mary, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My favorite part, I go every year to Malakeet State Park, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful place. But I want to expand my horizons. And I've been trying to go to San Jose Island, which is, I believe, is a private island. And how can that happen? And the ferry used to go over there, but they not longer go over there. And I have to get like a private boat just to go and maybe get stranded over there. I'm not sure, but I don't want to take my chances. So what do you know about San Jose Island? Have you been there?
Mary, thank you for the call.
Yeah, we walked San Jose and you know, what I mentioned before about the Open Beaches Act, that coastline is open for us to walk. up to the high tide line. And but the ferry does still take people over because we had a one-way ticket back or to get over to Mustang Island. So it's still running. So I'm not sure. You may check back again. But it's a beautiful place. A lot of people go over there for beachcombing. They have a lot of unique stuff that's washing up. So I highly recommend going over there.
I'm very interested in learning more about what's happening with plans for desalination of the Gulf water, and that's probably the future of Texas because we're running out of water. But there's lots of ways to do ocean desal, and some are good and some are harmful to the environment, Jay. So, are you taking a look at what's happening with proposals for big plans for ocean desal?
Yeah, through the Gulf Mexico Trust, we are, and I think our position is that it's going to be a part of the mix, and in some respects, it also takes pressure off of our groundwater and our surface water in terms of population growth and the needs that we have for fresh water going forward. What we want to make sure of is that when we develop out those desalination resources, that we're not harming our bays and estuaries. And we talked a little bit about how unique they are, and the Barrier Islands help to protect them. They rely on a mixture of freshwater inflow that's coming down from all of our rivers and an exchange with saltwater from the ocean. And so when we take in that water and discharge, what in many times is a salty brine, it's high salinity content, we want to make sure that that's all occurring outside of our bays and estuaries. And there's some reports that were done several years ago by Parks and Wildlife and the General Land Office that identify areas beyond the Barrier Islands where they recommend that take place.
And Chrissy, also the unique feature of the Texas coast are the people who live along the Texas coast. What was your experience talking to the people who live there?
That was probably my favorite part of the whole walk, was all the people that we came across. Surfside, it was a great group that came out to meet us. Michelle Booth, they do cleanups, I think, pretty much daily on the beach there in their community. South Padre was one of my favorite experiences. There was a big group, probably like 20 of them, and celebrating birthdays. And they, I think just it started to catch on that we were doing this walk, maybe through social media. And they just happened to look down at their phone and read the story. And they said, "Are you the Claybirds?" And they're like, "Yes, yeah, that's us." I mean, we definitely stand out. We had on, walking sticks and fully clothed and, protecting us from the sun. We
And
kind
you
of
had a
stood out.
camera crew.
And well, at that point, I'm not sure if they were following us there. But we spent probably, we had to make it to Boca Chica to the finish that day. And I think we stayed 45 minutes talking to them. And just hearing, why they love the coast and why it's important to them. And, they come down there all the time. And so it was just stories. I loved hearing why people come to the coast. And they do, one gentleman and his friend for 20 years, they go to Penn to the same spot and fish for a week. And so it just, those were interesting stories that we took away
People need to
from
learn
it.
about it. They need to honor the coast and protect it. And it's a great story. Thank you so much for coming together and producing Chasing the Tide. It will be airing on PBS stations across Texas. Jay Clayburgh and Chrissy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
The source continues right after this. Stay with us.